गिरी वरदारी, छायो गिरी वरदारी। जयो यशोदानन्दना, जयो ब्रजजनरञ्जना, जयो यशोदानन्दना, जयो ब्रजजनरञ्जना, जयो ब्रजजनरञ्जना, चायो कुञ्ज बिहारी, चायो जायो यमुनातिर वन छारी, चायो कुञ्ज बिहारी, चायो जयो राधा माधव, जयो कुञ्ज बिहारी, जयो राधा माधव, जयो कुञ्ज बिहारी। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णु पद परमहंस परिव्राजक चढ़ स्तोत्र शत ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। I was told to do 24, but it's all fine. Maybe I can read two verses. Do you read this verse? 22. 22 has purport, therefore. Okay, so we can read 23 and 24. And that, yes, because tomorrow for 25 there is a long purport. So to keep the schedule, I will have to read two. Okay. Tatapi brumahi prashnams taparajanyatashrutam sambhashaniyohi bhavan atmanak shudin icchata. Tatapi brumahe prashnams tava rajan yathashrutam sambhashaniyohi bhavan atmanak shudinikshata. Tatapi brumahe prashnams tava rajam yathashrutam sambhashaniyo hi bhavan atmanak shudin ikchata. Tathapi, still, Brumahe, I shall answer Prashnan all the questions. Tava, your Rajan, O King, Yata Shrutam, as I have learned by hearing from the authorities. Sambhashaniya, fit for being addressed. He, indeed, Bhavan, you, atmanaha of the self, shuddhim, purification, ikchata, by one who desires. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear King, although you know everything, you have posed some questions, which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard. For a personality like you is just fit to be spoken. To by one who desires self-purification. Purport. A saintly person doesn't wish to speak to anyone and everyone, and he is therefore grave and silent. Generally, a common man does not need to be advised. Unless one is prepared to take instructions, it is said that a saintly person should not address him, although sometimes, because of great kindness, a saintly person speaks to ordinary men. As for Prahlad Maharaj, however, since he was not a common, ordinary man, whatever question he posed would have to be answered, even by a great and exalted personality. Therefore, the saintly Brahmana did not remain silent, but began to answer. These answers, however, were not concocted by him. This is indicated by the word yata shrutam, meaning as I have heard from the authorities. In the parampara system, when the questions are bona fide, the answers are bona fide. No one should attempt to create or manufacture answers. One must refer to the Shastra and give answers according to Vedic understanding. The words yata shrutam refer to Vedic knowledge. The Vedas are known as Shruti because this knowledge is received from authorities. The statements of the Vedas are known as Shruti Praman. One should quote evidence from the Shruti, the Vedas or Vedic literature, and then one's statement will be correct. Otherwise, one's words will proceed from mental concoction. I will read the next text. 24. Trishnaya bhavavakhinya yogaika mair apuryaya karmani karyamanoham nanayonishu yojitaha. Translation. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. Purport. As long as a living entity wants to fulfill various types of material desire, he must continuously change from one body to accept another. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that as a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about with different type of wood and tree branches, the living entity floats in the ocean of material existence and is dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. This is called the struggle for existence. One kind of fruitive activity causes the living being to take one form of body, and because of actions performed in that body, another body is created. One must therefore stop these material activities, and the chance to do so is given in the human form of life. Specifically, our energy to act should be engaged in the service of the Lord. For then materialistic activities will automatically stop. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord, for he knows how to fulfill them. Even though one may have material desires, one should therefore engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That will purify one's struggle for existence. Akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.10. Anyabhilashita shunyam gyanakarma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. So text 23. My dear kin, although you know everything, you have posed some questions which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard, for a personality like you is just fit to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification. Index 24. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the wave of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Grim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Shri Guru Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Adeshatarine Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Siva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good morning, welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we begin with the answer of this sage who took the life of a python. So far, Maharaj Parikshit, he found this personality who was lying on the grass, on the ground, and he looked very, Subal Prabhu was narrating how he looked very fat, and but it was strange scenario because he wasn't doing any activity. Everyone is working in order to survive, but he wasn't doing anything. He was just lying down, but still he was receiving somehow food, everything he needed. And Maharaj Parikshit could understand that he wasn't an ordinary person, that he was a sage. Saint and decided to approach him and ask him questions. First of all, he paid obeisances And he had a very submissive attitude. But in Bhagavad Gita it's described, no, tad vidhi prani patina pariprasnena sevaya, that one should learn the truth from the pure devotees by giving render service to them and being submissive, and then ask questions. So three elements. Maharaj Parikshit, he did that. He paid obeisances, had a service attitude, and then he presented the questions. And the question was, we were discussing with Subal Prabhu, it was a difficult question because I want to read the question, the Maharaj Parikshit. Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj, sorry. Excuse me. Yes, Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear sir, you undergo no endeavor to earn your livelihood, but you have a stout body exactly like that of materialistic enjoyer." So the way he is presenting the question is polite, but also can be misunderstood. Because he is saying that you look exactly like that of a materialistic enjoyer, no? Because you look fat and you're supposed to be a saintly person. How is it that you are fat? But Maharaj Parikshit, first he showed the proper attitude. So by the time he's asking the question, we can understand that Maharaj Parikshit has in high esteem this personality. He's not trying to criticize him or expose him. Okay, in modern times, there are some people who criticize Vaishnavas. Or even in Lord Chaitanya's time, he was criticized by different. Yeah, what was the name of? See, Ramachandra Puri, he used to criticize the Lord Chaitanya because sometimes he would say, "You are eating too much." And then Lord Chaitanya will eat less out of humbleness. And then he will say, "You are eating too less. You should eat more." Or he will find that there will be some ants where Lord Chaitanya was residing. And then he will say, "Oh, this ant is because you are eating too much sweets, but you are a sannyasi, you shouldn't eat sweets." Always looking for some faults. But at that time there was not internet. And now that there is internet, there are personalities who had that mentality, like Ramachandra Puri, will post things like that. So like, for example, this saint is fat, so someone will post a picture of the saint. So this is the saint and all fat. How a saint can be fat? So that is a more like a sarcastic question, and is intended to offend the person who are directing the comments. But in this case, Prahlad Maharaj, he's saying, before asking the question, he's acknowledging this is the advancement of this personality. So it's important to see the difference. So it's not like he was, someone may say that, "Oh, Prahlad Maharaj is very brave in the way he answered, but he's very humble." So now the Brahmana will answer the question. Is said, and first of all, Prabhupada is explaining that he is not a saintly person, is not obliged to answer questions from an ordinary man. And in general, an ordinary man doesn't need instructions. But it doesn't need instruction doesn't mean that it's because he is perfect. like this chapter we are studying the behavior of a perfect person. It's not because the common man is perfect. It's because a common man generally won't be willing to follow the advice of a saintly person. He will have the opposite reaction, because if the saintly person trying to instruct a common man, the common man may become upset, and then everyone. Like, there is a short story of a common man who is taking mangoes in a tree, in a mango tree, and trying to catch a mango which is in the top where the sun is, where there is more light, the fruits are more ripe. And so at one point, one branch broke down. So he started falling down, and he was able to catch a branch, and he was asking for help. I need help, I need help. I'm falling down, I need help. So everyone came to the place and tried to help him by saying, "We love you, stay there. Don't fall, please, we will help you, we will help you." But nobody was doing something practical. But then they saw a saintly person walking, and they asked the saintly person, "Can you help? Because you are a Brahmana, you must be very intelligent, and so you will come up with an idea to help him." He said, "Are you sure? Do you want me to help?" "Yes, please." "Okay, don't complain." So he went, and he took a stone and he threw it toward the person who was hanging on the branch. And so everyone looked, "What are you doing?" He said, "Don't complain." And the other said, "What are you doing? You are throwing stones to me." He kept silent. He threw another stone. And then this man started becoming very upset, and he threw another stone. He said, "I will kill you. I will kill you. You are crazy. I'm in this dangerous position. You're hitting me." And everyone was saying, "Yes, you're not a saintly person." So he threw another stone. And then the man in the tree, he said, "If you threw another stone, I will get down from here and I will kill you. I promise." So he said, "Okay." He threw another stone, and the sage started running away. And so the man said, "I catch you, I'll catch you." And he jumped from the tree and started running behind the sage. And everyone was also, "Yeah, let's keep him out." And at one point, when they were running, one person said, "But hey, wait a minute, actually he helped you. So now you're on the ground." So the idea is that a centered person will have a very unconventional way to help, and not every common man will appreciate that. So therefore, they usually don't speak with any common man. But in this case, Prahlad Maharaj, he wasn't an ordinary man, and he knew that, so he was obliged to answer. Because here is a person who will appreciate my instructions. And then the way this sage answered, he immediately, he is explaining that he won't give an answer that's just coming from his own mind. He said, My dear king, although you know everything, you have posed some questions, which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities." So this is a principle that Prabhupada highlights, that a real saintly person does not speak without repeating what is in the scriptures or what they learn from the sages. Prabhupada always quote Evam para para praptam imar radar sayo viduhu sakali neha mahata yoganashta parantapa. That this supreme truth has been passing away in a system of checking quality, we can say, that the teaching has been coming down from Krishna to from different even planet to the planet Earth. And the duty of the sentient person is to maintain that knowledge as it is. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he took the whole preface and also part of the introduction to Bhagavad Gita to highlight that point, that his Bhagavad Gita was not just presenting the ideas of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, but he was presenting the parampara system of knowledge unadulterated. So he explained that there are many Bhagavad Gitas in English, but there is no one that has the potency to make devotees because it's not under the authorization of the parampara. So the answer of the sentient person, because it's coming from disciple succession, has the potency of is carrying the power to change the heart of people, because it's not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are just repeating. And the Sutta Goswami, when he was asked by the sages of Namisharanya, he said the same: I will answer according to what I heard and according to what I have understood in my level of understanding. Because it's not that the sentient person repeats like a parrot what he have heard, but they are repeating according to what they have tried to understand. And they don't speak beyond their level of realization, of understanding. So they speak according to realization. And this is exactly what this sage is answering here in text 24. He will explain his experience, how he came up with this style of life, why he rejected material life, because he is not, he won't be speaking just as a parrot, but he will be speaking his own realization of life. So in his particular situation, he gave up all material activities. He says, because of Krishna, material desires, I've been carried away by the wave of material nature's law, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. So he has full realization of the condition of the jiva in this material world. That is like a grass or a piece of wood that falls in the river, and then it's carried away by the river. And it's, then that grass or piece of wood meets with all kind of calamities. So in the same way, the living entity is carried away by material existence, and is facing these different situations in different form of life, sometimes as an animal, as a human being, but always suffering the three kind of misery: adivautika klesha, suffering from other living entities, suffering from his own body and mind, and suffering from the calamities that nature is bringing, you know, like earthquakes, etc. So there is not a permanent situation, but because of material desires, there is always some hope, and the illusion, the way that Maya works, is that always is giving up hope that if you couldn't be happy now, you may be happy later on. So the problem here is that your plan didn't work, so you have to do another plan. And in that way, the living entity can be for millions and millions and millions of years in this material world without satisfying his or her desires. Therefore, even if you have material desires, the only way to fulfill them is by approaching Krishna. Therefore, Krishna said, Chaturvida Bhajanti Mant. There are four kind of persons who approach me, and even though they have material desires, some of them, they want opulence, so they will approach me. Those who are distressed by the miseries also approach me, and those who are curious will approach me. But out of them, there is one, the Gyani, who has no material desires, and also, if he approaches me, he will achieve perfection. And out of the four, the Gyani is the most qualified because he doesn't have material desires. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is quoting Akama Sarva Kama Va Moksha Kama Udaradi. He's explaining that Sarva Kama, those pious people who are full of desires, they are advised to approach, to take to devotional service, even though they have material desires. But also Akama, those who are the Gyanis, also are advised to take to devotional service. Moksha Kama, those who are looking for liberation, your mystic power, everyone is advised to take to devotional service. So this is how inclusive is devotional service, is for everyone. And in the next verse, it speaks about the exclusivity of devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam. At the same time, pure devotional service is only for those who are free from material desire. Anyabhilashita shunyam. If you have material desire, then it's not pure devotional service. But so devotional service is for everyone, but pure devotional service is exclusive, only for pure devotees. And this saintly person, he realized that he had so many material desires, and that was keeping him in this material world. So at this point, he gave up on material desires by his own realization. So Prabhupada, he said, what kind of fruitive activity causes the living being to take one form of body? And because of action performed in that body, another body is created. So there is the teachings of Lord Rishabhadev to his sons. Also, it's a nice verse. It's Nunam Pramata Kurute Vikarma. So those who are hankering for fulfill all material desires, one becomes mad after material desires, and then one commits all kind of vikarma, or sinful activities, in order to obtain, to fulfill your desires. And so, yad indriya pritaya aprinoti. And then once is engaged in fulfilling those desires, indriya, and but what happened? That klesha, asanapi kleshada asha deha, that this endeavor actually is causing more and more suffering and bringing more and different bodies, which the body itself, the human body, for example, is just the real disease. In the sense that if we have a body, it signifies that we are performing karma for previous life, and now and this body it comes with a quota of suffering and some enjoyment. So for a saintly person to engage in more material activities is like crazy, because the same body is already bringing pain, and you are creating a new body, a new material body. So therefore, Nunam Pramata is Kurute Vikarma, where the spiritual soul becomes crazy after. And also, Rishabhadev explained, he said, Parabhavastavat Abodajato, Yavanna jigyasya atmatatvam yavat kriyastavat idam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandaha. That the only way to stop this is to begin by inquiring about the spiritual values of life. Like Prahlad Maharaj is asking to the sage. Otherwise, doesn't matter what we do, we always meet defeat, even if we perform karma or pious activities. Even if we perform pious activities, still this is considered entanglement. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma activity, his mind is called karmatmaka, color with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear, and as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. So therefore, even if the living entity is engaged in karma kanda or religious activities, in aras to obtain sense enjoyment, using religion for that, even though you are performing pious activities, is considered in the same level of vikarma. It will keep you entangled in this material world. So this realization is spoken by this sage who undergo all this experience. So he has been explaining the story of the living entity, of the jiva. I've been carried away by waves, not so life after life. So there is a difference in when we hear from a sage, like Prahlad Maharaj is listening from this sage, they have this power of the realization. So for many of us, when we read life after life, you know, I've been suffering. It's nice that we say that, but we most of the case, we don't have the full realization of that because we continue to perform fruitive activity sometimes. And so the advice of scripture and all sages is to somehow or other engage the living entities in the service of the Lord, because they know that not everyone can be like this sage and just lie down, you know, in Loyola Park and do anything. Imagine not to take the life of a python. Even if you just lay in your ashram, in your room, and nobody will take you prasad or anything. So you try to change up there. After one day, okay, 2 days, okay. 3 days, you receive some praise for devotees. So at least everyone is considering me a saint. 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and then you will be running to the kitchen to take at least some prasad. But this sage, he had the realization even that he doesn't have to endeavor for that, because even wherever he is, some food will come by some means. He doesn't have to endeavor even for that, because the nityo nityanaschetanaschetananam ekovahunam vidadadakaham, the Lord is already providing for every living entity. You don't have to really, according to the plan of the Lord, you don't have to perform your activities just for the sake of having bread. But Dasai Bhajeto Prayate Tako Vito, Narada Muni explained that all the good things of life will come anyways, in the same way that bad things come in life without any endeavor from our part. We don't do anything and suddenly someone steals our musical instruments, for example. And so we meet distress. So for a sentient person, he understands that even food will come by the providence. But not everyone has that faith. So therefore, the sages, they engage, there is a plan for engaging the living entities in devotional service by sadhana bhakti, occupying our senses. Hrishikena, Hrishikesa, Sevanam Bhakti, Uchate. So by engaging our senses, we can be free from material desires and clean our heart by engaging the tongue in chanting Hare Krishna, by taking prasadam, working for Krishna. So there are the way that Srila Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness is not like the python. Like he didn't try that his disciple become take the life of a python, but the consciousness of a python, of the python sage, not the snake. And so therefore, Prabhupada, for example, sent his disciples to preach. And to he gave them the opportunity to take shelter of Krishna by giving them wonderful missions. Like, for example, go and open a temple. And, well, how I will do that? So Krishna will help you. So a way to test the faith, to increase the faith. So these disciples, they have to go to some place where there is no Krishna consciousness, there is nothing, they don't have any money. And they go there, they chant Hare Krishna, and suddenly people start coming and giving them some donations. In the same way that Srila Prabhupada did when he came to America, he came and he was alone. And he didn't have any means to make money. He didn't have influential people to help him. But he was just taking shelter of the holy name. And Krishna was sending people. He was doing his endeavor, of course, but only for pleasing Krishna. In a couple years, Prabhupada had chapatis and had halwa, everything like he were in a temple in Vrindavan in India. And he was in America, and he manifested all this because of his complete faith in Krishna, that by serving Krishna, everything else will be taken care of. Now this is called Shraddha. By performing activities that are pleasing to Krishna, anything else will be provided. And so the way the ISKCON works is also like the python, in the sense that the devotees are doing a lot of mission, and sometimes they don't know how to pay the expenses, but somehow Krishna is sending. Because, for example, this temple is huge. I don't have. I know that the devotees are, the administration works a lot to get the temple nicely, like everything is paid. But this is basically done by, because they stress the worshiping of the deity. The deities are being taken care of, and then people are inspired to contribute by doing preaching, etc. But it's not that the temples of ISKCON are based on a business. For example, that we maintain temples by selling something that is not Krishna conscious. We maintain the temples by maintaining the deities. Maintaining the deities and maintaining the devotees happy. And then as a result, everything else comes. All the inspirations to get different sources like book distribution, etc. So in book distribution also, a devotee goes any place. I remember like with a friend, once we went to a place in Argentina. We purposely left with nothing, only with books. And we knew, because of the other devotees that preached to us, we were convinced that you get to the place and then someone will come and will help you, and then you distribute the books, and then next day you have some Lakshmi for buying some boga, or someone will give you boga. But we didn't. Never is an obstacle to don't have enough money for performing the service, especially for book distribution. The only obstacle is to get the books. So once you have the books, you can do the service. So we went there, and it was very, it was hilarious because we were talking about that in the bus. It was like a 5-6 hour. And then when we came, we sit there, and it was time for lunch, and we said, so now, well, so we don't have anything for lunch, so just distribute some books, and then we can get some boga. And that, when we were saying that, a car stopped and said, Hare Krishna, do you want to come to take lunch? And there was a family that we didn't know, a family of devotees living in that village that we weren't aware. And so the whole family was in the car. So they gave us the address, and it was in a mountain. And so we went there, and we had a wonderful prasad, and they allowed us to stay there for a few days. And so that's one example. Like, even our ordinary devotees can have some realization, because the way Srila Prabhupada made it is on the books. It's all. So that's the way we can take the life of a python. It's not like we don't do anything about the book distribution, and we just lie in a park and say, okay, someone will come and take the book. And so we work by preaching and doing our services, but we don't care much about how we get the other means. I mean, so you do book distribution, but you are not concerned, oh, how I will pay the bus when I come back, like that. You focus on distributing books, then Krishna will arrange for the other things. And that always, I mean, most of the devotees have that experience. They do in different services even. And Suwal Prabhu, he told me a story with Aindra Prabhu. Remember that you have to, I think you have to collect something for the temple, and you were doing Harinam, but nothing happened. Do you want to say what it was? Because it's really nice, very inspiring, the story.
He had, Aindra Prabhu had this amazing Harinam program, but not have much support from the temple management at that time. He had to be self-sufficient. So he took advantage of the Christmas marathon to collect, you know, some Lakshmi to maintain the program for the next year. And at that time, the collection, the Christmas marathon was not based on book distribution, but it was based on collecting donations to support some food for life program. Anyway, another story, but so, and the devotees would dress, you know, in a Santa Claus and go with the leader, just like the how you call the people who stand in the corners, the Salvation Army, you know, dress as Santa Claus with a litter bucket. Devotees will go into the street, and they have, you know, some things to give to the people and ask for donations. So all the best spots for doing that were taken by the temple Sankirtan party, and Aindra was left with one of the worst spots to go and do that, which was Chinatown. It basically was, you know. Anyway, so there was my Aindra. I was part of Aindra's crew, so it was the two of us dressing as Santa Claus and going into Chinatown. And in Chinatown, we spent the whole day going to, you know, this fish market, the smells, and then, you know, the last thing that was the one that broke us was when we passed by some chicken slaughter place. And that's it. The whole day, not even a penny. And so we just returning to the temple. And as we're returning to the temple, next to Chinatown is Little Italy in a neighborhood. Italians were there, so we're passing, and then we hear someone screaming, "Santa Claus! Santa Claus!" and calling at us. So we went to him. It was this very big Italian man dressing in a black dress, you know, with tie, big guy. And he just asked us, you know, what are we doing? And then we say that, you know, we're collecting to maintain, you know, the preaching program. And then he said, yes, we helped you. So he took us into the restaurant. It was a whole meeting of Italian men in black with big cigars and things like that, and smoky, and they all looked like mafia. Exactly the picture of a mafia meeting, just men, all dressed in black, big, you know, guys, old, you know, big cigars. And then this big one, he say, "Here is Santa Claus, and he needs donation. Everybody, give him donations." And then people start to pull out bills and put, you know, so we couldn't hold the whole big donation in the two cans that we had. So he was able to collect just in that spot everything he needed for the rest of the year. Next year.
Yeah. And that's when someone who is engaged in chanting the holy name, you know, like so much faith in the holy name. And it was like, for me, the story was interesting because it was awkward to see like such a devotee like having to do like ordinary collection, but how he didn't have to engage in that for his life. Still, he was following the authority, but he had to do that. But I mean, I associate that with the power of so Krishna allowed him to continue with the holy name. And so he collected in a very, like, in just 1-2 minutes, and then the next day they continue with Harinam. And so the devotee is the Krishna Bhakta, is Nishkama. It's the only Nishkama, according to our acharyas. Everyone else, or bhukti, looking for material desires, or mukti, looking for to fulfill material desires, or looking to get free of this material world. But for the devotee, is the only who can be peaceful, because he doesn't have any material desire. But having no material desire for a devotee means that he is engaged in many other desires for Krishna. He has a lot of engagement in Krishna service. But for a mukti kami, someone who looks for liberation, they don't have material desires, but they don't know how to dovetail those desires. Not having material desires, the only result is just merging in nothing, in the Brahman. But sooner or later, the living entity has to perform actions, so they have to come back. And it's like a person who eats a lot and gets tired of eating and then just do some fast. So you fast for 1-2 days. Sometimes the devotees, they have peaks of these big feasts. And then the next day, everyone is there. Most of the devotees are like taking salad only, not very austere. But this is not a permanent diet, because you just got tired. But it's natural for people to eat normal. So fasting can go on for some time, but for days, but not for always. In the same way, not having any desire in the process of jnana can go for some time, but sooner or later you become a devotee and perform activity for Krishna, or you come back to the material platform and do, like Prabhupada explained, at least you do pious activity like open hospitals. It's something you have to do sooner or later. It's like sleeping also. So you go to sleep, it's like emerging, but sooner or later you have to wake up. That's the condition of the living entity. So being in the Brahman, it can be for millions of years, but sooner or later, the living entity needs to land either in the material world or in the spiritual world. So therefore, for the devotee, mean nishkama, without desires, mean that he's engaged in all kinds of activities for Krishna. And that's the way he is shanta, or achieve peace. And it seems that this wave of not having material desires, in the sometimes we see the examples in Bhagavatam of persons like this saint, like the python, that is very different to how we practice spiritual life, because they are not doing anything. But sometimes these are examples of a jnani. In this case, it's a devotee, because we know by the conversation how it develops. It can be bewildered, so should I do that? But we have to see that the essence is always to fix the mind on Krishna. So there are a special devotee who can be just absorbed in Smaranam, remember Krishna, and do anything. These are just a few. And others can be chanting loudly the holy name, but most will be engaged in either in preaching or activities that are helping them to purify, to come to the platform of pure devotional service. So that, therefore, we don't see these examples in our society much. Indeed, if you try to do it, probably you won't fit in the institution. Like, because if you live like a python in the temple, the temple will, the administration will tell you, okay, you have to leave. Even if you're very advanced, it will tell you. At least you give some Bhagavatam class, but you say, no, I don't want to talk to ordinary people. Okay, so it's not, it's meant, this is a preaching movement. So if you, even if you become like very advanced and take the mood of more like a life of a python, then you can go to Vrindavan, some forest in India, be peaceful there. But in we receive this higher knowledge, and the way that we can digest this higher knowledge is not by taking the life of a python in the physical way, but it's by performing a lot of activities, because this is a gift that we have, you know, something that we really earn, but it's called mercy. So therefore, it's too much for us, and we need to digest by doing activities, preaching, engaging our senses and purify them, because it's not like when we meet devotees, we were already pure without any material desire, and then we just took the chanting. So therefore, ISKCON is providing hundreds, thousands of ways that devotees can be engaged in devotional service. And now whether the devotees are taxing their brains to create new ways to engage people, even through internet, and so many ways. But the essence is always the activities of sadhana, bhakti, which first is to take shelter of Guru, and then Guru will engage us in service and will ask, give us the most important instruction, which is chanting our rounds. So as far as we have that, everything else can be different for every devotee, but that's the way we take shelter, is in chanting, taking rounds, vows, taking vows, and chanting and performing activities. It's not that we just give up everything and lie down, which is, in this case, is amazing, and we are surprised. But there's a difference in the mood. we have to, Prabhupada help us to achieve the perfection of life. So today is also this appearance day of Ramanuja Acharya, and I don't have much time, but I can say that Lord Chaitanya, he took this pure devotional service from Ramanuja Acharya, because he took instruction from different mean teachings from different acharyas, and from Ramanujacharya specifically, he took the impolluted bhakti that is differentiated from karma and jnana. Therefore, the anya vilashita sunyam jnana karma jnana vritam. So, to serve Krishna and put the whole faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, in the faith of Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter in karma or in jnana or in the other means that are not Krishna consciousness. So it's a full faith that Krishna will provide as far as you serve him with full faith. And also service to devotees. The Lord Chaitanya was very fond of serving devotees. Sometimes he will wash the clothes of devotees. And so Ramanujacharya, well, he had in high esteem serving devotees, and also he didn't, although he was from a high Brahmana caste, he didn't pay attention to that, but he paid attention to the devotion, to the quality of devotion of the devotees. So therefore he served a devotee called Kanchipurna, who happened to be from a Shudra family, but he had and deviated devotion for Krishna, for the Vadaraj deity in India. And so Ramanujacharya sometimes will ask him even to get initiation from him, but he was so, this devotee, he was so embarrassed, such a Brahmana would want to take shelter of myself. So he wasn't giving him initiation, but he engaged him in service. And even this devotee was praying to Krishna, please let me serve you in another place. Let me serve you in Tirupati, so I don't get so that these personalities who are higher than me, they don't ask me for shelter and knowledge, because it's very embarrassing for me. So he went to serve Krishna in another place. So after Ramanuja was insisting him, Ramanuja Acharya, and so. It's very interesting. If you want to read, I have some material I can give you. And there is even a movie made by the Sri Sampradaya, which is like 3 hours, but it's very worth of watching, about the life of Ramanujacharya. And there is a very nice story, especially at the beginning, with his guru was an impersonalist. So usually you never instruct your guru, but in this case Ramanujacharya, sometimes he will correct his guru, and his so-called guru at that time tried to kill him, so devised a plan to kill him, but Ramanujacharya wasn't revengeful at all. So he knew about the plan because Krishna was guiding him, and his cousin Govinda told him about the plan, so Ramanuja could escape. But then even after that, he stayed in the asana of his spiritual master till his spiritual master, Pradabha Prakash, rejected him. And then he was free to take shelter of Vaishnava. He took shelter of the Sri Sampradaya, a disciple of Sri Yamuna Acharya. And he became the successor of Sri Yamuna Acharya. And he is praised by bringing all the poetry, all the Albars. Albars were great devotees who did poetry, amazing poetry, to glorify Vishnu. But they didn't, they were not accepted as a philosophical scriptures. So Ramanujacharya put all this poetry into philosophy. And he took Vaishnavism to a higher level to defeat the Mayavadi philosophy. So he established the difference in quality between the Lord and the living entity, and also the how they are the same quality but in different quantity. Okay, so is there any comment? I don't know what is for Prasad. No, because it's coming the time, so someone may have the question. Yes.
Yeah, I appreciated the you brought up the point of how you know, the engagement of the devotee in preaching and taking the principle of full dependence and faith in Krishna's protection and Krishna's maintenance that the sage had, you know, to be able to maintain this vrata of being, you know, like a python. And Prabhupada did mention in the purport that the sage is not obliged to speak. In fact, it's not even much recommended to speak to ordinary people that is not interested in being instructed. But he says, but sometimes out of great, he pointed great kindness, then the saintly person goes and speak to ordinary persons. And then, so this is what we're receiving, you know, Prabhupada's and our disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya's mood that, you know, everybody should be approached. Yeah. Including very, you know, sinful persons, as from Lord Nityananda's example, that even the worst of the worst still should be approached and given the mercy. So that's the mood of our lineage, and very much took shape, you know, with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, that created an institution of preachers, of Goshti and Andis. So that, and that's what we've been engaged by, you know, the greatest Goshti and Andis, and we're being engaged by them into this program.
Exactly. You know? So it's a comment, not? Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, thank you. Yes, so we yeah, this is the mood of the acharya, not coming from, especially from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not to spread, but this, of course, from the prediction of Lord Chaitanya, that the chanting of the holy name will be in every town and village. And in order to do that, it needed and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, you were sharing with me, you know, he envisioned an institution that will be able to facilitate the chanting to thousands and millions of people. And that's what Srila Prabhupada was able to conceive through ISKCON. And still we have the institution, you know, Gaudiya Math, still also there are preaching there. So the idea is to fill the world with temples and Manhattan's and opportunities so people can chant and engage everyone and don't propose what people, the understanding that many have is a stereotype of the spiritualist, that the spiritual life means to give up all your activities and something impractical. And so this ISKCON is bringing a conception of the spirituality given by Rupa Goswami, Yukta Vairagya, which means that is a way that everyone can practice, because it's just doing a click in the mind of by following acharyas, then you can engage everything you have in the service of Krishna. So you can be a rich man, a poor man, so everyone can take advantage of the process. You don't have to, it's not like everyone has to become the same, but everyone in the different position can be engaged in service. Different social classes, but all of them practicing the same process. Yeah. Mataji.
I was appreciating the breakdown that you did of you know, approaching a saintly person or a pure devotee and inquiring, rendering service. So you were pointing out that Prahlad Maharaj, you know, followed those steps in approaching this python rutter-taking sage. At the end of the class, you very nicely contrasted, you know, the way of life or how the sage was going through his purification process with how within our institution that purification process happens. I just had one thought that came to mind, and that was that that sage, in with his taking the vratta, he was following the process of purification by saying that his speaking to Prahlad Maharaj was for self-purification. So I very much appreciated that part because, you know, you were highlighting in the later part of your class that, you know, it's our process also to approach the saintly person and, you know, that and rendering service, and that's the purification system. So I was just finding it very interesting that in that still inert position, he saw himself as going through a purificatory process by speaking to Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes, very nice that you brought that point. Just to feel to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification. Yes. Just one more comment regarding, like, one may question why we are, I think Subal Prabhupada also was mentioning that the devotees in ISKCON, they have to go and preach. You know? And so to everyone, when the sages, they only speak to me, only to people who want to appreciate. In our case, it's just this, it's self-purification. So we go out to, one speak for his own purification mainly. And it's not like one goes out in the street and says, I'm going to talk to the ordinary man because I am not ordinary. But we also thank them to, when they listen, because it's very inspiring when someone listens. And when they chastise the devotee, also the devotee can purify them as far as their intention are pure. Okay, Srantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.